CliffCentral.com.
No, no, no.
Wow, 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 wow.
That was... no.
Yeah, so the whole week before Gareth's been away, we've been taking song requests. So
no.
If you're listening by podcast, what we do on the topic every hour is we play a song. last one was from Luke. Luke.
That's not a song. That is just noise.
I feel like...
That is noise pollution.
I feel like we need to actually apologize.
I must.
Yeah.
And also at the same time, Luke, are you still with us? That song would suggest that maybe, I don't know, just let us know you're still with us. Please, Luke, we care about you. Your song request was awful, but we still care about you.
Yeah, and we are very sorry that we put you through that for as long as it happened. But, you know, it is a Friday. It's a Friday, people.
Oh, wow. Andreas says, what is the purpose of that song? I think we need to do a suicide pact.
Do we? Oh, wow. I think we need to screen these songs a bit, like, more stringently, listen to them before, play it for 10 seconds.
And then take a vote. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny how responsive the show is, though. I mean, you guys just...
Wowzers, people are not mincing their
okay,
words.
Okay, look, I don't think we should, yeah. I think we should read all these messages. Let's just say that song might not be a hit.
We're very sorry is all we can say at this point in time. We are very sorry.
I tell you what song everyone does like, though.
Yeah.
It's my buddy's theme tune.
Ah.
First up.
Yes, you're going to say?
It's all about Kalkakia, right?
Of course it is. Mix it up this summer. The festive season break is over, but the warm weather shows no signs of abating, and we're already dreaming about our next holiday.
Mm.
To help banish any post-holiday blues, enjoy one of Kalkakia's pizzeria's tasty cocktails in store. From the famous Kalkakia Woo Woo to the Cherry Berry Sangria, there's a summer drink for any mood. A friendly reminder, alcohol is not safe for persons under the age of 18, and please drink responsibly. See, now I already feel better.
Mm.
I mean, look, that song was depressing, but the idea of a Kalkakia woo-woo after work, that's got me in a happy place
yes,
again.
Yes, woo-woo!
Let's bring on that news, dear.
Now, hold up, I still have the song on the system.
No.
What, the Luke
yes.
song? No, we can't. Okay, you know what? I'll just get straight into it. Okay,
let's
how about
get it
that?
A bit classier. We can try this out.
CliffCentral.com.
All right. Now, yesterday, you know, after having realized that the petrol price went up this week, you were probably doing a very public happy dance when Uber said that they're dropping their fares by 20%.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Mm. But excited as we might be as commuters, a lot of the Uber drivers are infuriated by this new announcement. Fares will be cut by up to 20% in Johannesburg, Cape Town and Durban from their current levels of between R7 and R7.50. Uber said in a statement that the move was intended to increase demand during the quieter winter months. Because, you know, a lot of us like to stay indoors when it's cold outside, and therefore it means less trips or less use of the service.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much easier in winter to get blind drunk at home. It really is.
Yeah, it's so much more enticing to do it that way than to go and meet your friends at a restaurant or a bar. Why? So Uber were thinking, okay, well, if we drop the price by 20%, then, you know, it will sound good to commuters and they'll still be prepared to use the service in the quieter months. But the drivers are not happy about this. In fact, in Cape Town, some of them have gone on strike. Around 200 Uber drivers stopped working on Wednesday and marched to Uber's Cape Town head office. However, Uber said that it will be putting minimum payment guarantees in place for drivers while they adjust to the new prices, and also stated that if the amount that drivers make on the road isn't what the company expects, then it will reassess the price change. So basically, if they can't make it work for their drivers, this drop of 20...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, but I've just been talking to myself for the last 5 minutes because I didn't know that you couldn't...
Oh, damn.
I was complaining about Luke's song.
Oh,
I was talking about the woo-woo cocktail. And I'm sitting here talking to myself, and I'm thinking, these guys are either not listening to me, or they just don't care about what I say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which
so,
was neither.
Yeah. No. Look, we already apologized for Luke's song. I don't know if you want to add more to that.
Well, look, if you ever want to know...
No, let's apologize again. I really think we need to apologize as often as possible.
Okay.
Guys, if we ever want to find out if WeChat's working or not, let's just play Luke's song, and we'll know within like 3 seconds if it's actually on. So, yes, it's working perfectly.
But you got like 50 messages from people?
Oh, yes. Gareth,
there was a message that I wanted to get back to from the first hour, but it is so deep in the system now, we can't even scroll that far. Anyway,
well, that's always nice, because you never know when you're sitting there sometimes. You think, oh, well, I hope there are at least 1,000 people listening. And, you know, the rule in radio always used to be that for every one call you got, that represented 1,000 people back in the day. But, I mean, now there's no real way unless you actually hop on and see how many people are listening. And I don't want to do that while I'm busy with the show, because otherwise – it's going to go up and down while we're doing the show because people have got things going on, and I'll keep thinking, oh, my God, we're doing something boring, or, oh, wow, this is the best thing we've ever done. So you can't actually pay attention to it. So it's nice when you get these messages, even if they are people complaining about Luke's horrible song.
Well, yeah, I just think after Luke's horrible song, if we're hitting 1,000 right now, I'll be super chuffed.
All right, sorry to interrupt you, though, Mubs. Where were you?
Well, you could hear us, right? So we've been talking about this Uber dropping their price thing for the fares down by 20%. Yeah, you love it, Gareth, but the driver's upset because remember, you know, it means that they're going to be earning less money per kilometer driven. And so Uber, I guess, are going to try and monitor the situation and make sure that their drivers don't become too upset over this, which means that they could then make another announcement at a later stage, to change the fact that their fares are dropping by 20%. I mean, they could raise them up again very soon because about 200 drivers in Cape Town stopped working on Wednesday and they said, no, this is not going to work for us.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if they didn't have a consultation with any of these drivers before they just decided to implement this.
Yeah, that's a good thing to wonder.
Yeah,
surely you don't just go ahead and do it without actually checking with somebody.
But there would have to be something in the terms and conditions with variable costs and that kind of stuff coming into it. There's never going to be a fixed rate. Costs will change. Mm. I'm sure you sign into that.
Mm. Wow.
I personally don't agree with the sort of cost structure that they got going to make up. To me, it feels like imagine a restaurant on Christmas Day or New Year's Eve charged half price because they knew people weren't going to be eating out. I think in a market like this, you've got to cut your losses and got to make up in the other seasons.
Wow, Flex, listen to you.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I understand if there's demand for something that you have to push up the price. And especially for things like New Year's Eve. I mean, I remember on New Year's Eve, I was charged a lot more per kilometer by Uber than I would be on any other night because they just don't have enough cars. So they can afford to get away with it. And if you need a lift, you'll be prepared to pay that just to get home on New Year's Eve.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
basic really market dictates supply and demand.
Hmm. Well, there is a new stat that's coming in. It's the last thing on Uber because we seem to have a heavy Uber week this week after my ordeal yesterday. Which was rectified, by the way. They say that in Gauteng or in the country, that something like 800,000 cars could potentially go off the road in the long term if this taxi service keeps growing and keeps becoming part of our lives.
Well, that's great for traffic and congestion.
Can you imagine what a massive difference that will make towards various things? Like, it's a really big progressive step, that.
Hey, and global warming.
Sure, carbon footprint.
And you know what else? I know people who do not have cars anymore. They've sold their cars, and they use only Uber. I mean, people who live, for example, in the CBD in Cape Town or in like, you know, not too far out of town in Cape Town, and they work there as well, they just use Uber. They don't even have their own cars anymore. They have sold them.
Yeah, we were actually having this discussion not too long ago because some people have worked out that it's a lot cheaper for them if they Uber as opposed to owning a car, especially if they're still paying installments on their car, right? So they've done the maths and they've decided to get rid of these cars because just purely for financial reasons, it makes more sense to Uber every day. But, you know, it won't be the case for everyone. Like, if you've already paid off your car, you're like, oh, well, I'm just keep driving the damn thing.
Yeah, look, the reason that the stat comes up, so potentially 800,000 cars could be off the road in Johannesburg, okay? That is on the back of Uber Pool possibly being implemented. Now, Uber Pool is basically you can call a ride and there'll be guys in the car ready. Which in itself could either freak people out or it could be a really great way of making friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, right? If someone's going in a general direction.
Here's the problem is that what Uber Pool. Hello?
Yes. Yeah. Gareth?
Sorry, what Uber Pool doesn't understand is that we hate each other. People don't like each other.
Gareth?
People don't want to just pick up with a stranger.
Yeah, but if it's a cheaper ride and there's another option, go for it. This is the whole thing. We need choice as humans. We are ravenous for choice.
What if you end up in a carpool with Kulubuse?
Well, okay, oh, no. They, yeah.
Stick to the conventional options.
He can only be the only one in a car, that one. Like, the other people just don't fit.
What if you've asked for an Uber Pool, right? And then Kulubuse pitches up in a very small car and he's taking up the whole of the back seat and he's like, come and sit here next to me, baby.
Oh,
come on, really?
No. Look, Gareth, yes, you generally hate everyone. That's fine. But, I mean, think about every time you hop on a Gautrain, you're with people. You know, every time you hop on a plane, you're with people. So why not be with people in a car as well? I mean, it doesn't sound like that much of a horrible thing that you know, because you're used to doing it on a plane and on a train. So.
Well, Mubs, that's saying, what if you get in the car with Luke and he's told the driver to play that song?
Oh my God.
No. You need to weigh things out.
Then I would just stop the car and get off and walk the rest of the way.
You'd rather walk than be in a car that plays that song.
Yes, definitely.
Sorry, Luke, again, if you are listening, just let us know you're still with us.
Poor Luke, he's getting a lot of heat for this, but at least he sent us his request. And he did get it played, horrible song as it was. So next week we'll carry this on, or are we giving it up?
Well, look, Gareth, I mean...
I vote carry on.
I think we carry it on, but again, it comes down to a democratic vote. If people have the opportunity to bring us songs, people have the opportunity to tell us not to play them as well. So.
And we learn about new artists. I've never known about this Blake Luke artist dude.
Jake Blake.
Jake Blake.
I was about to say, firstly, we started remembering his name.
James Blake.
Oh, James. Oh, we all got it wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, we're
James
learning
Blake.
A lot. We're learning a lot here.
Jeez. All right.
Okay, meanwhile, over in France, on Wednesday, they officially made paying for sex a crime.
Ooh.
Why?
I don't know, Gareth, because this is being seen as a radical change of approach in a country where brothels were once legal. Prostitutes pressure groups are divided about the new law.
PPGs.
Yes, the PPGs are divided about this new law because, you know, prostitutes say this. They say, you know, we will simply face more poverty, more violence, and more stigmatization. And they're also complaining that they will be forced to work in even greater secrecy and they will lose, you know, more of their respectable and non-violent customers. Because now the country has decided that instead of punishing the prostitute, rather punish the client. And so if you get caught paying for sex in France, from now on you are going to be fined because it is now against the law. It is a crime.
I don't get it. I really don't understand why anyone in any part of the world should ever have to illegally take part in prostitution. Why shouldn't this just be something that people can do if they wanted? I mean, I'm not going to start questioning the reason that some woman has gone into prostitution or the reason that some man is taking money out of his pocket to spend on sex. It's none of my business. It's none of anybody's business. But if it should happen, and it will happen, and it has been happening for the longest time, they call it the oldest business in the world, right?
Mm.
Then why should the police get involved? And why should the state have anything to do with it?
But, well, you know, Gareth, everyone's favorite go-to place for that is because of moral reasons. Our moral fiber.
But bullshit morals. We're talking about the French. They have presidents who openly have mistresses and wives pitch up at their funerals. Now, are you telling me that this is a country that should be setting moral rules for the population? Come on.
I mean, what next?
We're trying to kid.
Are they going to stop smoking in cafes?
Look, there
And what after that? Are they going to take down all the statues of naked women because they're naked and it's immoral and someone doesn't like that? Come on.
Look, with all these things, they should just be progressively taxed, right? So whether it be drugs, you should be able to pay a tax to wear no pants on a day. Like nothing. Just, look, I paid my $50. I'm not wearing pants today. Whatever it may be.
Look,
people always crapping
I agree with
money.
You, but let's not tax the prostitutes. Let's tax the guys who use the prostitutes because they're doing something which it's difficult to regulate and where these women need to be protected. So they must pay a surcharge. They must pay 20% more for it, and those women get, I don't know, medical aid or whatever it is as a result of that. But you need to make it fair. And I think that if some guy wants to, you know, have a woman come round and he pays her money to just have sex with her and then she leaves and with a pile of money and he leaves satisfied, everybody's happy. How could that be a problem?
Well, it seems to me that the approach that France are trying to use here, you know, they're trying to do this for a number of reasons. Because firstly, they say that this new law is going to provide financial support for prostitutes who want to create new lives. So it sounds as though they're trying to get rid of prostitutes altogether, right? So they say, all right, now this new law, if you want to change your ways, you dirty, evil, sinning women, we will help you start brand new lives as people who are not prostitutes. Secondly,
That's ridiculous. They're never going to stop prostitution.
Exactly.
Secondly, the law will permit foreign sex workers to remain legally in the country. So it sounds like they're also trying to, you know, get a better hold on foreign people entering the country, because 8 out of 10 prostitutes in France are foreigners. They're mostly from Africa, Asia, or Eastern Europe. 8 out of 10 of all prostitutes in France are foreigners, and they're there illegally. So they're trying to say, now, this law will also permit foreign sex workers to remain in the country legally.
But I mean, this other work, what are they envisaging here? Okay, sorry, you've been a prostitute. We're now going to give you a respectable job, like, I don't know, looking after the elderly. They'll be giving hand jobs in a day. Some people just like doing sex things, and that's totally okay.
France, interestingly, becomes, after Sweden, Norway, and Iceland, the fourth country in Europe to transfer punishment to the client. So there also seems to be some kind of movement here.
Iceland's very unhappy right now.
Iceland.
There's no fun in Iceland.
You know, exactly. the socialist deputy who first proposed the law back in 2013 said that the penalization of customers would reduce demand and allow prostitutes to be considered as victims and not offenders. The health minister of France said that it would force men to think about what they do and the way they behave. No, it will not.
No.
No, it will not.
Good luck to you, dude.
This is going to create a bigger problem, because if you put under the category sex for money, then porn comes in as well. Then they must ban porn in France, because that is sex for money. The people are having sex and getting money.
Well, they count as actors, don't they?
Well, that's why they have an award
yes.
Once a year, don't they? The porn awards or something like that. I don't know.
They're all these loopholes, really.
Look, I'm a little bit confused about what they're trying to say here, because they're saying that they're trying to shift the focus from not penalizing the woman, but rather the client. So if you're a prostitute in France, you're more than welcome to advertise your work. The government say, go ahead, do it. We don't have a problem with that. But if we catch a client coming to you, we are penalizing the client.
It's the person who pays for the service.
The person who pays for the service is the one that's going to be in trouble.
So how about you have to have a prostitution license? If you want to partake in prostitution, you got to have a card. Because first you get your HIV status, so you're clear for that one.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a bit of screening on the people if they're violent or not. And then it's totally fine. And then you can tax that as well, because it always comes down to money.
Sort of like
right. Let's make money out of it. Let's not put people in jail. Let's actually make money out of it. I mean, just charge people a whole lot of cash. That's all.
It's sort of like the weed medicinal card. If you have one of those cards, you can go to dispensary and get. It means that a doctor's approved you to buy weed. Same with the prostitute. I think it would work.
Yeah, so that's France and Sweden and Norway and Iceland.
I just get very nervous when I hear anybody pronouncing anything on moral grounds, because you know that there's bound to be some kind of, you know, dodgy stuff going on in the background. When anybody talks about how moral they are, they're exactly the opposite. We've discussed this so many times, and it's always true. You know, the priest who stands up in front of the congregation and tells them they're all going to burn in hell because they're evil people is the one who's banging a nun in the back garden of the abbey while no one's looking. And the person who is talking about how you shouldn't lie and steal is the one who's got a bank account in Switzerland where he's hiding illicit money. You know that. That's the way the world works. The people who are the loudest about morality are usually the ones who are the most immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, the most important thing is I just don't think that human beings... you can't force people to do or not do something by threatening, you know, by threatening them with some kind of punishment. Yes, we all know that drinking alcohol is terrible for us. Yes, we know that smoking is terrible for us. But you know what? We still do it. And I just don't think that this is going to change the fact that men are still going to want to solicit sex from prostitutes. I don't think it's going to have any impact on that.
Oh, you better believe it. Anyway, let's not make France's problem ours. At least in this country, hookers are still around, and they're not going anywhere. You know, we're not trying to get rid of them either. If anything, we're trying to increase the influence they have on the streets.
I'd love to know how many arrived in 2010 and just stayed. You know, we had to have so many different hookers. It was like a FIFA sub-bylaw. It wasn't really put in play.
No, it was very fine
FIFA print. Accredited hookers. They're really hard to come by now, though.
Oh, boy. All right. In a school play that's gone horribly wrong, two pupils at an exclusive New Zealand school were hospitalized with neck wounds when a production of Sweeney Todd became all too real.
Oh, no.
like knives and scissors?
Like blades, Gareth.
No.
The kind of blades that old school barbers would use to shave you.
Mm.
Because, I mean, that's what the story of Sweeney Todd is about, right? It's about a murderous barber who went around slitting people's throats.
Yeah.
So two 16-year-old boys were taking part in the musical about the murderous barber who slit his victim's throats. basically, the prop that they were using malfunctioned. It was a razor. It was a razor that had been...
But how? I mean, you'd use a fake... Everybody knows that on a stage, a school play stage, you don't use actual stuff. You use props that look like things.
Well, according to this incident, the razor had been filed down and it was bound with various things so that it could be used as a prop. But the pair were rushed to Auckland Hospital with ambulance officers describing one boy's injuries as serious and the other boy as moderate. So basically, the prop... malfunctioned.
Oh, imagine the proud parents in the front row cheering their kid on. Next thing, there's like blood everywhere.
Jeepers. So can you imagine the pandemonium that that ensued after that? The school was distressed. They're offering counseling to all students, including the play's cast and crew. An investigation is being conducted to determine exactly what happened and to ensure that this does not recur. The production has been postponed, and the school principal said, maybe next year we'll do something that's a bit more general.
I think there's someone to blame here. Maybe an envious stagehand who's always wanted to be the main actor is like, yeah, tonight you're going to learn. Unbounce this in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole new popularity contest at that school in the drama department, and they're all vying for position, and someone switched the prop for an actual blade. It's like a movie plot.
They need to question the understudy who's now happy to have the role.
Exactly.
But yes, exactly.
The first person who put their hand up said, oh no, the show must go on. Let's go.
Yeah. That's the person to look out for.
So speaking of children and getting injured or just deformed, Peter are now saying, Peter, that's the people for the ethical treatment of animals, are saying that chicken will give your child a small penis.
Chicken?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop eating chicken, you'll get a small...
Well, let's not find it already.
No, I'm waiting to hear how.
Okay, well, I got a little clip here. Maybe this will shed some more light on it.
Okay.
Okay. So basically what they're saying
carnival
is,
music.
Okay, let's cut that. What they're saying is that there's certain elements towards chicken, processed chicken essentially, that is giving your child a tiny penis. Oh, I'm so going to butcher this. Come on, this isn't
what
a proper
is that
word.
Music, Ben? Is that your theme music?
It's the Peter's theme music. Phthalates. Let's just go with those.
The chemicals in the chicken.
That's what they're claiming to be in chicken, and it's giving your child a small penis.
Oh.
So, Peter, now, they're not exactly the most scientific, but they're definitely the most passionate about something, right?
Mm.
So they reckon, well, you only get phthalates in chicken. So if you're going to the Colonel on the way home, you're just giving your child a small cock. Even when you're pregnant and you're eating these phthalates, then it's going to go through your child in the womb. But this can be found in all kinds of things. So you can't just be putting it into chicken, because if a kid puts like a funny little toy in its mouth, these phthalates are all over the place. Phthalates mono. So, yeah. I mean, these words don't make sense. Okay. There's this thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's all over. So Peter was saying basically, you know, it's unethical growth of hormone chickens, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And that is why your child will grow to be hung like a nipple.
Oh, okay. But then...
Listen, first of all, I'm so glad Ben wasn't my chemistry lecturer at high school, because I wouldn't have been able to pronounce or understand anything about chemistry. But second of all, I don't see how what you eat has any effect on your penis size.
Well, that's what Peter is saying. Because, you know, obviously Peter don't want you to eat animals.
Mm.
And they don't want you to misuse animals or do these kind of things. But these phthalates, they can be found in toys, personal care products, many types of food. It's even in the air.
Oh, well, then there's nothing we can do about it.
There's tap water, pesticides. So there's two parts to this question, right? Okay, Peter, noble, try to make us stop eating animals, that kind of stuff. All good and well. But what if these phthalates in everyday life are all making us having smaller penises?
Well,
I demand that we do a penis study from the 60s until now.
Yeah. See, this is what I was going to say. There obviously needs to be a study made to see if there's some kind of correlation between phthalates, and if we're pronouncing this word wrong, it's all Ben's fault, between phthalates and penis size over the last X number of decades.
Mubs, are you volunteering to lead the study?
Yes. Yes, I am, Gareth.
How many peni are you going to need in order to complete a decent study here?
Well, you're going to need a good sample size. So I think around 2,500 is a good size to work with.
No.
2,500 penises, and will you be measuring them all yourself?
Yes, Gareth, I will.
You don't need a team? Are you sure?
No, I think you need like a proxy screener in the beginning.
See, I'm happy to have you on my team.
Oh. We're going.
Jeepers, what about raising the roof on a Friday? Well, I got a message from Jonathan Witt, our resident doctor.
Uh-oh,
and
here
he
we
says,
go.
South Africans eat tons of chicken, and on average, we don't have small penises. More nonsense from the bitter vegans.
Okay, this is what I'll have to say. Not to feel like I'm standing up for Peter, but Peter's known for like these racy campaigns. You know, they started off years ago with the be comfortable in your own skin and let animals keep theirs. So they like all these racy things to spark awareness. Because even, I think it was a year or two ago, they did this whole thing around about how if you eat a plant-based diet, you can last longer in sex. So I think the Peter marketing as a whole, very, very smart. There probably is some small, tiny degree of truth in what they're saying. But of course, I'm pretty sure you can still eat chicken and your penis will be fine. But to each his own.
Oh, no, come on. They're just sensational. I mean, this organization, they really are outrageous a lot of the time. They throw paint on people who are wearing fur coats.
Yeah.
You know, Peter really, they're the activists of that whole thing in the most extreme fashion. They're not, you know, they don't lie down and kind of negotiate things. They do outrageous stuff. So this is just another attempt to get our attention for a very worthy cause. It's worth saying. I mean, animal rights, you know, becoming more and more an issue. But smallest penises, they're just trying to get men to panic. Because trust me, you want men and women to panic, tell them their penises are going to shrink.
Well, as a corner says here on WeChat, you know blacks eat a lot of chicken, right? And you know what they say about blacks.
I like that. All right, cool.
Guys, remember Pastor Mboro? He recently just took a first-class ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
So he got his selfie trying to fish it out for $5,000 over up in here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, news stations got hold of him. They spoke to his bodyguard, because he has a bodyguard now. He is claiming that he went to a car wash and he left his phone in the car, and the boys who washed his car stole the phone. So now no longer has the photo.
Now, and he has all these pictures of what heaven looks like, right?
He said he had the pictures, Gareth, but nobody saw the pictures because, remember, you had to pay 5,000 rand in order to see it.
Yeah, he didn't even share it with a cloud. Mm-hmm.
So nobody has seen these great, amazing pictures, and now his phone has conveniently been stolen.
They're gone forever.
Yeah.
We'll never see what heaven looks like.
We'll never know what heaven looks like. And we were just talking about this the other day, remember?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm so sad because this was my only hope. And I was really excited to finally see the pictures of what heaven looked like. God alone knows how you end up smuggling a Samsung Galaxy into heaven. I mean, surely the security will pick that up. If they could pick it up at an airport and you have to take it out and put it in a tray, I would think that in heaven they'd be able to figure out whether you've got a phone on you or not. But, you know, maybe God's security is a bit wishy-washy up there. Maybe he's not on his toes looking out for people who's smuggling in technology.
Well, maybe not.
Wow. Did you guys hear about Mugabe's latest monologue? So he addressed the ZANU-PF supporters just yesterday. And, of course, it's Mugabe's world and we all just live in it. It was 90 minutes long. And the essence of this entire monologue was him basically shaming his potential successors for wishing death upon him.
Oh, okay.
92-year-old Mugabe, Africa's oldest leader, said, basically, I'm here at the mercy of the people. If the people say no, go, I will go. But if the people say no, we still want you, I will stay on. And he basically went on.
Dude, they did. They said they wanted you to go in the last two elections, but you just didn't listen.
That's what I don't understand as well. He's like going on to also say that he believes in democracy and his heir must be chosen democratically and that his wife will not automatically inherit the role.
Mm-hmm.
Which we
well,
know is
it sounds to me like exactly the opposite is happening. Actually, your wife is going to inherit the role automatically. So boo to that idea.
Mm-hmm. The last final quote, iconic one, is, "I'm not dying, shame on you." So good on you, Mugabe. Let's see how long that lasts.
Okay. I mean, at this stage, do you even want to bother arguing with him? Wow, he's how old now?
92 years old.
Okay, see, you must not argue with what are they called in their 90s? Because a person is in his 18s is an octogenarian.
Yeah.
In your 90s, you're a...
Dead.
Nonago.
Dead.
It's a nonagenarian, I think.
Why do you want to argue with a nonagenarian? Like, just don't. Just let him continue speaking.
Well, don't argue with him because he'll kill you. I mean, he's still very dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even for your president to go on a 90-minute-long rant, that's a movie.
Yeah.
That's when you know that this guy's got unlimited power and he's just never going to be challenged by anyone. This is what autocracy looks like, ladies and gentlemen. Having to sit through a 90-minute monologue. I mean, you want to tear your hair out, right?
Sure.
Here we are. We can make it through 2 minutes of that Luke song.
Yeah, no one can.
Well, I mean, when our president got up to speak at Nelson Mandela's funeral, they were shouting boo and they were making the exchange sign 5 seconds into his speech.
Mm.
So we could still teach Zimbabwe a thing or two about democracy.
And talking about some more power, let's just all roll our eyes at this single-handedly. We know Taylor Swift is basically ruling the music world, but she's now taken it a step higher than all of that, basically. So the Broadcast Music Incorporated Pop Awards have decided to include a Taylor Swift award, and the winner of that is Taylor Swift.
What?
That's a waste of time.
What the hell is a Taylor Swift
award?
What
does that basically mean? Basically, they say that Taylor Swift has transformed pop culture through her songs, artistry, and indomitable.
Indomitable.
That's the one.
Yeah, and you laugh at me, huh?
There's a difference in that chemical and
this. My word is a difficulty rating of 10. Yours is like a 7.
How the hell has she transformed the pop industry? No, she hasn't.
That's what they're saying with her.
She became part of the industry. She didn't transform anything. What major things did she do to it?
She had a 4th of July party with lots of girls.
Don't you remember she did something with Tidal or something like that where she got them to put music on?
No, she did do something. She was the one who stood up to Apple Music when they were going to force all these artists to give their songs over for free. And she said, no, if you're going to make Apple Music free for a month for everybody, you still have to pay us. And she got that. She basically, by forcing Apple's hand, by being such a powerful artist in terms of sales, she managed to get everybody some money. All these artists who otherwise would have got nothing from Apple Music.
So I think it's all good and well, but to give Taylor Swift the Taylor Swift Award, couldn't they call it like the Pioneer Award, something or the other? Or maybe just name the category after her, and that's enough honor.
No, but listen, I mean, it's ridiculous. Did she go and pitch up to take this award off the stage? I bet you she didn't. She didn't go to accept it herself, right?
No, so it's going to happen on the 10th of May.
Well, she has to go now, because if she doesn't, it's going to be seen as a slap in the face, isn't it?
Or highly narcissistic.
I don't think she'll go.
I can create
a Mabali Moloi award right now and invite Mabali Moloi and give her the award. But if you don't pitch, that gives it no legitimacy.
Oh, yeah, true.
Taylor came under so much flack over the last, 2 days on social media, because last year she attended an award show and she wore, this white onesie piece, and she had no backside, no bum. It was just flat.
Mm-hmm.
And this year she attended the same award show in a different outfit, but now she had bum. So they're accusing her of butt implants.
Okay.
another scandal. Oh well.
Ooh, yeah. And this is a whole discussion. Butt implants is an actual thing.
Oh yeah, it's a very big thing, Gareth.
All right. Okay.
In Hollywood, yes.
All right. How would you like to have a long weekend, every weekend for the next 2 months? Does that sound like something that you would enjoy?
How much?
Because that is exactly what is going to happen in Venezuela. The president has decreed that Fridays will be holidays for the next 2 months.
No.
The reason that they're doing this is to ease the energy crisis in the country.
Shame. Have you heard what's happening in Venezuela? I mean, that's really quite sad.
Yeah, tell us.
There used to be Hugo Chavez, the former president, used to be Julius Malema's hero, and everything was cool in Venezuela, and everybody was all socialist, and everything was lovely, and it was fine while the oil price was high, but since the oil price dropped, the bottom fell out of Venezuela, and now they can't even import enough food for people to buy. There is a massive problem with supply of electricity, of food, of everything in Venezuela. It's a disaster. It's like where Zimbabwe was 4 years ago. And the shop shelves are empty. People are suffering. There are massive protests all over. So that socialist dream has also gone crashing into the ground.
So let's then think about what the president is trying to achieve here and whether or not it's a good idea. Because as you rightly say, Gareth, a severe drought coupled with what critics say is a lack of investment and maintenance in energy infrastructure has hit the South American nation, which depends on hydropower for 60% of its electricity. So the president says, okay, for the next 60 days, you'll only have 4-day working weeks to ease the energy crisis. Now, critics are coming out strong, slamming the new 4-day week as reckless in the face of a bitter recession, shortages of food and medicines, and triple-digit inflation. They're also saying to the president, well, then what is supposed to happen to the private sector? What's supposed to happen to productivity in this country, and what impact is that going to have on an already dire situation? So is it, in fact, a good idea for Venezuela to move to a 4-day working week in light of the fact that they're going through so much shit?
I'll tell you something. I hate public holidays. I mean, it's nice to have them when you're tired and you need a break. But I would prefer to have, I've said this so many times, one long weekend a month then everybody knows that that's a long weekend. You don't have these Wednesday public holidays that ruin the whole week on either side. Nobody does anything. Nobody's productive. We need to do business. Do you know how many people there are out there who are just doing nothing all day?
Mm.
They either can't find work or they're too lazy to find work. And we can't carry on like this. You don't get an economy going by sitting around in your hands.
And then what's supposed to happen after 60 days? Because now you're going to spoil people in Venezuela with a long weekend every week end. And then after 60 days, it's okay, now everyone back to normal. And they, you know, they're going to be all sluggish and lazy and like, you know, they've got to restart and get back into that mode of being productive again for 5 days as opposed to 4 days in the week.
They're going to be furious. Yeah, they're not going to want to do that.
And then will they have the resource to deal with the population boom? Because there's going to be more kids coming out of this.
No, but remember, in Venezuela, it's not a good idea to be having children right now with the whole Zika virus thing.
Yeah, but you see how hot those women are.
But then you must wear a condom.
Venezuela,
they must all wear condoms. They can't be having babies, you know, amidst the Zika virus situation.
But probably there's a large band of people out there who's not complaining about this at all.
Look, on the surface, it sounds like something that's nice and fun, but long term, is this really the right strategy? To reduce the country's...
Poor Venezuela, what a clusterfuck. Yeah. I mean, they've got Zika virus, drought, they've got oil price reductions, they've got no food on the shelves, they've got a government that wants to make every weekend a long weekend. It sounds like a disaster. I wouldn't want to be in Venezuela right now.
Yeah.
And wasn't it Miss Venezuela who got trumped at Miss World?
No, that was Miss Colombia. Okay. Miss Colombia.
No, Miss Colombia. Yeah. Sorry, Colombia.
I was going to say they're really in it bad for this one.
So, you know, early in the week, there was that story about Julius Malema being pulled over by the flying squad or police harassment.
Yeah, he said that he was pulled over by about 10 officers who shoved their rifles in his face and they didn't explain to him why they had done that.
Well, there's now two sides to the story.
Well, okay.
Okay, so just to recap, the original story that Julius Malema threw out there was that an unmarked white van essentially pulled him over at the Grayson off-ramp.
Mm.
10 guys with rifles all pointed at him started to harass him, right? Mm-hmm. That was pretty much the gist of the story. Well, from the South African Police Service side, they say that there was a Golf 7 going along the highway with police lights. Like, there was their own blue light brigade, right?
Okay.
Yeah, this is the other side of the story. This isn't just my investigative journalism. So apparently there's a blue light Golf 7 that was driving with a Range Rover, okay? This looks pretty gangster. Blue lighting.
Okay.
And the people, the flying squad, the SAPs behind them were basically saying, well, look, we try to register the cars. They were marked as unknown. So they thought these cars were being hijacked. Kind of this, some sort of syndicate running, and it looked quite suspicious. So they just followed protocol. They pulled the guys over, and then they said there was no aggression whatsoever. Flying squad members were professional throughout. Yes, they were armed, and yes, they did assess the situation like any other situation. And they said the only aggression on the scene came from Malema himself, who was very uppity about this, claiming harassment when all the people were trying to do was work out what the situation was. It worked out. It wasn't a hijacking situation. They then let everyone go in their own ways. So that's the other side of the story.
So they thought that the car Malema was in was being hijacked.
Yeah. Because also it's illegal to have blue lights, which just kind of confirms how dodgy it is that any MP can do that. But yeah, that's the other side of the story. That's the official police response to the allegations that he was harassed.
Okay.
I would like to know what the middle ground of the story is, because there's two sides to it. You never know nowadays.
I mean,
things get distorted on social media.
I would love to. Does it need 10 officers to deal with one car?
You know what we've got to do? We've got to do what the Americans do.
Whoa.
Which part?
Which part, Gareth? Yeah. Because you know
which
Americans
strategy?
And their gun trigger happy fingers.
No, here's what we have to do. We have to attach these cameras to the police cars the way they do in America. So
oh,
they film everything.
In Russia as well.
So that the police can't keep getting into trouble.
Yeah, actually, everyone should be doing that. That should be like standard procedure for any police organization in any country.
Also, it makes for great reality TV. Like, there are all those shows in America about, like, drunk people who are caught on camera. Those people who try even so high, but they try to assault the cops. I think we're onto something.
Yeah. No, it was definitely, everybody should, ordinary citizens should have these dash cams. You can get them now. They're fairly cheap. You know, they record whenever you drive. They switch off when you're not driving. That way we'll be able to identify hijackers. We'll be able to, because you can do it offline. You know, in other words, I can watch the stream from your camera from pretty much anywhere if I connect to your network. So you can actually see where your car is. If someone, I don't know, comes up to you or in a parking lot, they try to ruin your car or whatever, then your dash cam will pick it up. There's lots of different reasons that you should have these things. I think it's sensible.
Mm. See, now there's another conflicting story that there was a strobe fitted to this Range Rover. And it's illegal to have it because you can't work out the color of the strobe because it's active. Yeah, look, there's a lot of he said, then he might have said kind of stuff around this. It's impossible to get to the bottom of it, but I agree, Gareth. Because, you know, I think you pay less insurance when you have the dash cam on because you can monitor everything. And it's kind of handy because as soon as you're in an accident, having the video footage will speed up any sort of claim, definitely kind of, you know, rectify any wrongs.
And will definitely also protect you from being screwed over by some insurance companies.
Yeah.
Who try and make life difficult for you when you
Correct. It makes the whole thing much easier.
Yeah.
You've got documentation. Now, listen, I know you guys have spoken about this already, but I have to bring it up again. That whole thing where Mbuyiseni Ndlozi woke up Maite Nkwana Mashabane the other day in Parliament, that has got to be one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV, right?
Just take me through it, because I don't think I actually saw that part unfold.
Oh, I thought you talked about this already. So Mbuyiseni Ndlozi stood up in Parliament and said, on a point of order, Mr. Speaker, the other day, the Minister of International Relations is asleep. Oh. And there she was with her eyes closed, having a little doze during the whole impeachment discussion. So, you know, the one discussion she really should be awake for is this one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she doesn't wake up. He says, even now while I'm talking, she's not awake. So Derek Hanekom, who's sitting next to her, kind of elbows her awake, and she wakes up, and then she's cross. She's like furious. She's like, aye, this young man is disrespecting me, kind of thing. But she was having a snooze.
Oh, gosh. Which we've seen quite a number of times
what
in
the
Parliament.
Hell?
Yeah, yeah.
That sums up that whole session, though, huh?
But wouldn't you also fall asleep in those parliamentary sessions?
Not now. Maybe 2-3 years ago, there was no reason to stay awake. Right now, there's a lot going on in there. You want to be awake.
Like, what else is she doing at night? I mean, is she wrestling so hard?
Well, we do.
I don't know what she's doing. I don't even know what she's doing during the day. At the moment, there is no international relation to be spoken of. Right now, we're pretty much exactly where we were a year ago. So what's her whole department doing?
Gareth, we're just going to play that clip just to bring everyone else up to speed.
Yes, honourable member. Right, I'm worried that this minister that we pay so much, Minister Maite Mashamaite, she's sleeping in Parliament. And with that position, she's going to fall. And the minister would have fallen. She's still sleeping.
Honourable member.
She's still, I don't know. What's happening?
That's not a point of order. Take your seat.
No. The minister is sleeping. You can't say that's not a point of order.
No, Josie,
are you condoning people
please.
Sleeping now?
Josie, has
we must
come
to
you.
Sleep here in Parliament.
Honorable self, proceed.
We pay you. Don't sleep here. We're busy debating. You are sleeping. You are a sleepist. You think we're sleepist
here?
Hey,
honorable member.
Order, Deputy Speaker. Order, Deputy Speaker.
What's your order?
You can't call an honorable member. Hey, when? Hey, when? This is not a car, here.
Honorable member, take your seat.
Tell the man.
You must not be emotional, chief.
Take your seat, honorable members. Honorable members, can you be in order? Please, let's allow the honorable member to speak. Honorable minister, why are you rising?
No, I want to understand what this young boy is talking to.
No, Honourable Minister, that's not a point of order.
But you can hear no, take a seat. Up, right?
Honourable Minister, what you can't.
Minister,
there.
You must sleep and we Honourable must be Honourable quiet. Minister. No.
Honourable Member.
You sense to admit when you are wrong. You are sleeping.
Honourable Minister.
You are sleeping on duty.
Honourable Member.
You are sleeping on duty.
Order. Honourable Ndozi, order. Honourable Members. Honourable Self, please proceed.
Wow.
But you're right, guys. You know, when right. you get woken up abruptly, you start...
Tell me that isn't hysterical, right?
That is
great. If someone wakes you up, you're always angry, right? I mean, like, if you wake me up suddenly in the middle of a doze, I'm going to go, whoa, what?
Waraza.
That's what she sounded like.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
That is hilarious.
Mubs, who got up for the interviews today?
Whew, okay, yes. A double bill of guests today. Yes. Firstly, the stunning, talented actress and mommy-to-be, Carmel Fisher. And secondly, the new guy on the block who's making big waves, a hip-hop musician, songwriter, and record producer, Nasty C. So, a double bill of interviews this morning for you. That's how much we love you. And that's coming up after 8 o'clock.
Very nice. Cool. So, do we have another requested song, or are we going to let you choose this one?
We're just going to take matters into our own hands.
We need to screen it first, so we'll probably play it on Monday.
Okay.
Okay, no, we do actually. Gareth, the guy who gave up stalking you earlier, Mike, just scroll down a bit here. He's got a lot of messages. I apologize for not reading all the messages out today. One thing I did want to get to, Savannah Dawson made a very good point about prostitution being illegal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that your daughter doesn't get taken.
Mm-hmm.
Taken has taught us that human trafficking is a real, real issue. Mm-hmm. So that's why prostitution is illegal.
Okay.
Thanks, Savannah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Mike Mason, who was going to go visit Gareth, and he wants a song.
Yes.
Can he have that song?
So we're still going to screen it, though. Oh, are we going to go past the same part?
No, look, it's the same,
it's fine.
It's the same
process.
Just
play it.
Mike has made the effort, and he really wants Kanye West with Ultra Light Beam.
Oh, goodness.
All right.
Now, I say that with authority because it can't be worse than
you think.
No, it cannot.
I mean, if we had bagpipes and the only way of propelling those bagpipes was with your asshole, I think we'd still have a better song. Okay, interview's coming up in the third hour. Gareth, is that it? You're going to pinch it off there with us?
That's it. What lovely language, pinch it off. Oh. I will see you on Monday morning. Have an excellent weekend. Be good if you're not take photos. And keep listening to cliffcentral.com. Today it's Friday.
Yes.
So we've got Casper De Vries. We've got the Fashion Lab. I mean, the Buzz. We've got O'Neill. We've got the Sex Show. There's lots of good stuff today.
Very nice. Okay. Cool, guys. Catch you back Monday.
Cool.
CliffCentral.com.